You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody, welcome in on a Thursday. Jim and Trent, we say hello to you here on the Big Talker 1700. You can always get in on the show at 264-1700. Again, that's 264-1700. We have Thursday night football tonight. Immediately following us with Westwood One, it is Dallas and the Washington Redskins. Man, how you doing today, partner?
Not too bad. I didn't punch myself in the face, didn't electrocute myself.
Good.
Made it through unscathed another 24 hours, Jimmy B. I'm ready and raring to go.
All right. Well, that's always good because then the wife probably didn't give you the honeydews to do. So you were safe for a day.
Well, for a day. There's much more on the list for tonight. I already know what's waiting when I get home tonight at about 6:20 or so. There's a list of things to do around the house, and that's okay. That's part of the, well, what you have to do, Jimmy B. I know it well.
I understand.
And, we will do that. Last night, though, had an opportunity to watch, of course, you had the Big Ten ACC Challenge, which continues to not be much of a challenge for the ACC as the dreadful start to the Big Ten continues. Minnesota, one of the teams maybe you thought had a chance of getting a win, they lose last night. Now, one of their best players, one of their starters, McBrayer, didn't play in that game. Miami's good. I still think Minnesota's good, but just another disappointing kind of chapter in Big Ten basketball. But I don't want to start there with you, Jimmy B. I want to start with the Panthers. You and I getting a nice victory in the Mountain West Challenge against the MVC as they beat an undefeated UNLV team. That was a really talented UNLV team, and the Panthers got it done. Gave away the lead, but got it done in OT, and Panthers are looking good, Jim.
Hey, how about that front line right now with what Cook and Carlson put together last night? Trent, do you know, if you look at the stat sheet, they had five assists. Five assists in the game, that's it. So most of the stuff that they got was pretty much created off dribble drive or rebound baskets. It's unbelievable that they would have that few of assists, particularly in a game that went into overtime. And they were still able to win. But, hey, look, they're talented. You and I talked about them before the season began, thinking that they could be one of the top teams, if not the top team in the Valley. And, boy, they've got a hell of a resume already, Trent.
Yeah, wins against UNLV, NC State, SMU. Their losses are to Villanova and North Carolina. That's not going to hurt at all. They still have some big opportunities left. They get UT Arlington, who's a really good team out of the Southland. They still have Xavier coming into the McLeod Center. Of course, Iowa State in the Big Four Classic. They can put together one heck of a resume, Jimmy B, getting into MVC play. And then you look across the MVC, Valpo's undefeated. Missouri State was a favorite coming into the year. You know Illinois State's got talent. Indiana State, they've been bad, except they beat Indiana, who looked pretty decent last night, Jim. I mean,
they were.
This league is pretty solid right now and a real opportunity for you and I to continue to do work. Now, there's still a lot of work to be done out there still, but that front line, you mentioned that. Bennett Cook last night scores a career-high 30 points. He did that against a guy in McCoy that is projected to be a first-rounder, a one-and-done kind of player for UNLV. And watching the game last night, Jim, he looked the part. That McCoy kid, he takes up a lot of space. He's 7 foot. He's got some size to him. He's not just a stick out there. And he just, he posts up, and he's big. But Cook did a great job in defending him. You and I, as much as they struggled shooting the basketball, the guards did a good job. Overall, a very impressive effort. One other note, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, but Shakir Justin, remember we were talking about him as Iowa State was recruiting him out of junior college. Boy, he would have helped out the Cyclones a lot. That kid is really good, really athletic. He would have been a big help to Iowa State this year.
I agree with you 100%, and they certainly could have used him. And you're right, he is a real player. Look, I just quickly back to you and I don't know how Pickford gets all the rebounds.
Yeah.
He was their leading rebounder.
Again, he's averaging just under 10 a game. He's 6'4", you know, but he's a heck of an athlete. You and I doesn't have athletes like this either. They don't get guys like this on the outside. It's normally, you know, your Ali Faroukmanesh, a guy that can shoot it, but not a guy with that kind of athleticism. And he has certainly changed what they can do. He's a good defender already as a freshman. He's got a bright future. McLeod has taken a step forward. You know, he, from the struggles he had last year offensively, he's really come together as in his sophomore year. And they're still waiting for Wyatt Lohaus to come back. I mean, think about the improvements. If he can come back and be healthy, what they could get out of Wyatt Lohaus this year. This is fun because we talked about the struggles to Iowa State early on. Then it led into the struggles of Iowa. You and I very well could be our best chance, to get into the NCAA tournament this year from the state.
And you know what? We thought for sure that Iowa was pretty much going to be a lock. Now that's not the case. Mm-hmm. We thought that Iowa State would struggle most of the year, and they may with what they have, but at least now they're looking more cohesive and they look like a team. But we thought you and I would have to play for its life and probably have to win the Valley basketball tournament in order to get into the dance. Right now, Trent, if they put together a solid conference record and, say, lose on a buzzer beater or by 5 points or less in the conference tournament, I mean, is the Valley then making a case again for two teams to get in?
I think so. I think so. I'm looking right now. So, you know, Jimmy B, I love to play around with the RPI, and there's a website, yep. RPI Forecast, that you can play around with teams and what they're going to be. Now, right now, they have them projected to finish the year. Let's see, where do they have them at? Let me take a peek here as okay. I click the run button for the Panthers and see how them finishing up. But they have them projected, you know, finish with an RPI of 32. Strength of schedule 56 at the end of the season. If they put together, I don't know, let's say 23 and 5 going into Arch Madness, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
It's still a difficult role. Like I said, UT Arlington, Iowa State, Xavier to finish up non-conference play, then what you have to go through. And another thing, you know, the grind. We talk about grind to conference season in basketball. A lot of times you'll see that start to show up end of January, early February. We're seeing it in the Big Ten, though they're playing their conference games earlier this year because of MSG and playing in Madison Square Garden this season. But remember, every year, the MVC plays those 18 conference games, but they're compressed even tighter than you see normally with the Big 12, with the SEC, everybody else. They compress it because that conference tournament is earlier. That's another part of the grind that you look at and makes it difficult. But can they do that? If that front line plays like that, absolutely. And Clint Carlson, how about him? He shot the ball so well 2 years ago in Arch Madness and then in the NCAA tournament. Didn't shoot it very well. Last night, he was working inside again. He was getting in. He wasn't settling for the three-pointers. Only one three-point attempt. Maybe Clint Carlson, something might have clicked with him too, realizing, hey, maybe I can do some work on the inside too. That's the case. That front line, there's not going to be many better than that in the MVC.
I'm with you 100% on that. Look, they're talented. I mean, Coach Jake has got himself some boys that are just junkyard dog-like and will just go out there and battle you every second of the contest. And this is an opportunity, once again, and you just rattled off what their last couple of non-conference games are. How many are left there? 3 or 4? Could they go 3-1 and not the rest of the way in non-conference, Trent?
They just have 3 games remaining. Well,
3 left.
They have 4 games. They also play, I think it's University of Dubuque. So, a D3 school. Obviously that doesn't count on your resume. No, of D1 teams, it is UT Arlington, who will be a top 100 team certainly this year. Iowa State and then Xavier. 3-1? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could be.
And probably, I'd say the most likely loss of the three would be Xavier. Xavier, even though they get him at home as opposed to the neutral court against Iowa State, still, you're going to have to put together a great resume. I mean, it can't be 13-5 in a three-way tie for first. You have to be 16-2, maybe 15-3. You still have a lot you have to do, even with the good start for the MVC. But it's fun. It's fun to be able to have this conversation. I didn't think we'd be at this point, but here we are, and you and I at least with the chance going forward. But Jimmy B, from the local level, I know there's something you want to talk about on the national level, your love affair with Tiger Woods. He's better for golf when he's out there. It survived without him, but him back on the course today, shoots a nice 69. You had to be pleased, senior boy Eldrick on the course today.
I enjoyed every minute of it, to be honest with you. It's amazing to me that he doesn't play competitive golf for 301 days. Think of that, Trent. 301 days, not a competitive ounce of golf. And he shoots three under par, and he probably left three more that he could have been under and probably would have had the lead in this tournament. It was incredible. He hit the driver like he used to hit it, struggled a little bit with some iron play, but still was able to save par on a couple of holes. It absolutely is amazing. And look, golf ratings, we all know, are down. If he is anything, even mid-competitive, even if he's in the top 20, people are going to flock to the TV, flock to the courses to see this guy play, because you never know when he's going to start throwing darts again and he's going to beat all the young guys. And it was amazing to watch him play. He looks terrific, and it'll be one of those situations where I really hope that this time his back is finally healed and he can play four rounds or 4 days without an issue, and we get a chance to see him play again in all the big tournaments. For me, that would be the best thing that could happen to the PGA.
Couple of chunk chip shots.
Yes.
Any thoughts on that? That was, remember the bugaboo when he made a comeback, what, a year and a half ago? It was those chips.
Correct.
And he was never able, you know, he was blading things. He just looked so uncomfortable there. Was it some of the same problems, or is this something different that you saw?
No, he chunked the chip shot, but a couple of other guys were doing it as well. The conditions apparently were real soft, so he wasn't the only guy who mishit a couple of wedge opportunities. But I just think that, you know, he just hasn't played. Hasn't played competitive golf. Look, you and I, we can go out and laugh like crazy on the course, throw down a couple of cold ones, and have a great time. It's not the same when you're going out there and you are grinding, trying to beat, what, 20 other guys who are the best players in the world are on that same course with you. But it was just terrific. I can't wait to see how he does tomorrow. Being in the top couple of groups, he will tee off again in the afternoon, so right around noontime probably for us. So you get a chance to watch when you're working the show with Ken. Put it on. It'll be on the Golf Channel.
I got too much stuff to do, Jimmy B. I can't be screwing around like that. I got things to do. Hey, the leader right now in the clubhouse is all 18 players to finish up. Yeah, just 18 guys
okay.
in this tournament. Tommy Fleetwood. You ever heard of this guy? He sounds made up to me.
No, no, it's not Fleetwood Mac. It's not their kid. No, he's a Brit. He's from across the pond.
Okay.
Good player. Yeah, good player. Fun kid. I don't know if he'll hold up, not when you've got Dustin Johnson, Jordan Spieth, Hideki Matsuyama all there. But, you know, it's a good story for the first day. It really was.
Tiger, though, is the real story. And
he is the real story.
Something to keep an eye on. Well, Jim, we got a busy program coming up here. We got Pete Mundo stopping by. He'll kick off the program. We'll talk some Big 12 with him. Preview that Big 12 championship game. We'll make our picks tomorrow, as we always do, on a Friday, Jim. I'm leaning TCU's way. I just, one of those feelings, it's the Big 12. What's the Big 12 always do? They find a way to screw things up. They finally implement a championship game. This is a year they don't need a championship game.
Yeah.
I think we know what's going to happen. TCU is going to win this thing outright. Pete Mundo will be joining us here at about 4:20. 5 o'clock hour, Hawkeye Talk with Derek Peck from BC Divide. And Ken Silverstein will be here. We'll take a look at the Big Ten. Also, a little talk. Got a question on LeBron for Ken from his Cleveland outpost. That'll all come in the 5 o'clock hour. But it's Big 12 Talk next. Pete Mundo, he joins us as we take you up until 6 o'clock. Jimmy B and TC right here on 1700.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
If you're sick and tired of the same old delivery options, I have an idea for you. It's Food Dudes Delivery. Food Dudes Delivery delivers for restaurants that normally don't deliver food. And with over 50 restaurants across the metro, Food Dudes Delivery can find whatever you're craving. And for listeners of Jimmy B and TC, $2 off any order of $20 or more. Just use the coupon code JBTC. That's JBTC for $2 off your next order of $20 or more. Food Dudes Delivery. Online, fooddudesdelivery.com.
Sponsored by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. While you prepare for your holiday feast, don't forget to get ready for cold and flu season with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the number one preferred thermometer by pediatricians.
Hi, I'm Darla from CentOS.
Oh, thank goodness you're here. We have so much to do. I need fire extinguishers, right?
We'll place them for you and be out for regular inspection.
Great. And what about my new hires?
We'll get them into uniforms and keep them looking sharp.
What about this first aid cabinet?
Fully stocked.
It wasn't this morning.
It is now. And so are the restrooms.
Wow. CentOS really seems to know what we need.
You said it.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
When you're hungry for great food, a tasty cocktail, or a good glass of wine, a friendly atmosphere and fast attentive service, remember Jesse's Embers at 3301 Ingersoll Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday for dinner and Monday through Friday for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. Jesse serves just about everything, including some of the best steaks you've ever tasted, cooked on an open grill, located right inside. The smells are fabulous, and Marty or Dina stop to check on your meal, and the bartenders, well, they're on your side. Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll, just west of 31st Street.
This is Trent Condon from Sports Talk 1700 KBGG. In the United States, someone dies from a drunk driving crash every 51 minutes. Make zero fatalities your goal and drive sober or catch a ride.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind. And our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Welcome back, Jimmy B and TC. Trent Conn and Jim Brinson with you as we take you to 6 o'clock each and every weekday night. You and I basketball last night on the airwaves here on 1700. Tonight, it'll be Washington and Dallas in the NFL. We got Pete Mundo coming up here in just a couple moments. Jimmy B efforting him, so give me a moment. I'll see if I can get Pete finally lined up, all right?
You do your thing, pal. Go right ahead and just take care of that. Last time I tried to set up the caller, I messed up everything. I disconnected callers. Oh, my gosh. It was everybody was dying laughing, but except for me, because I felt terrible because I cut everybody off.
Yeah.
Cut the guests off. I cut callers off. You remember that. That
You're
was awful.
You're a disaster. We try to keep you as far away from technology as possible.
Yes.
Well, one guy that isn't a disaster, he is Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports, Big 12 Talk, and he joins us right now on the program. Pete, what's going on, my man?
Well, getting ready for the Big 12 championship game this weekend. I'll be down there looking forward to it, and should be a pretty good game.
So how's
Pete, let me follow up just quick what he says on that. Are you happy, Pete, that they are playing a Big 10 championship game, or would this be the year where you would just rather have Oklahoma not have to play somebody and already be in the Final Four?
Well, Jimmy, I'm happy. And not because of this year. I agree. Oklahoma would be in the Final Four without a Big 12 title game. Now, if Wisconsin wins this weekend, they probably would be moved down to the four spot. But here's why I think it's a good thing. If you are a fan of any team outside of Texas or Oklahoma, you desperately want this Big 12 championship game. Here's why. Look at this year. Oklahoma has the best non-conference win in the entire country going on the road beating Ohio State. They have one loss, and it's to an Iowa State team that was a whole lot better than we thought in early October. And that's a team, an Oklahoma program, a blue-blood team with one loss that wins the Big 12, that has the best non-conference win in America, that in a best-case scenario, if Wisconsin wins, without a Big 12 title game, is probably looking at the four seed. Is that a risk you want to take if you're a West Virginia fan, if you're an Iowa State fan, if you're a Texas Tech fan, that if Oklahoma can only get the four seed as a one-loss Big 12 champion, you think you're going to get the benefit of the doubt if you're a Cyclones, Mountaineers, Red Raiders, or Cowboys fan? You've got to be kidding me. This committee has shown zero respect for the Big 12 conference. It continues to do that, so it might hurt the Big 12 this year. But it is a huge boost for this conference, and it desperately needed it going forward.
It was something, absolutely. You're completely right. But I have the feeling, Pete, this thing is going to go off. It's going to go off the rails. TCU is going to win, and then chaos is going to be happening. Jimmy B loves chaos when we get to this point of the college football playoff selection. If that does happen, if it does play out the way that I envision, TCU is not getting a whole lot of love. Is there any scenario that you can see realistically that they get into the top four?
The only way I could see it is if a couple things have to happen. First off, Georgia has to beat Auburn. And the reason I say that is because if Auburn beats Georgia, it makes Alabama's resume look better. So if Alabama's going to slide into that four spot, then, you know, that would be easier for them to do if Auburn wins the entire SEC and ends up as a one or two seed. The other thing that would help TCU is if Ohio State beat Wisconsin, but that's not as big a deal because either way, you know, if Oklahoma lost and TCU won, the winner of that Big Ten championship game is most likely in. So, you know, those two things will be combined to help TCU, and then you're debating a one-loss Alabama that's not in the conference title game and a two-loss conference champion in TCU. And we saw last year, Ohio State as a one-loss non-conference champion get in over Penn State. And Penn State's a big program with a good brand who won the Big Ten and beat Ohio State head-to-head, and they still didn't get in over Ohio State. So what makes you think TCU is going to get in? It's just it's not going to happen. I love TCU, but this committee and this sport is about brand names, and we've seen that. We saw TCU get hosed in 2014. Should have been in that year. They weren't. So, I have a hard time seeing anyway TCU gets in, but that's the best-case scenario, that you have a little chaos in the SEC, and that helps out TCU's resume.
When you sit and you talk about the Big 12 getting hosed, is it just the people on the committee? you think that have it in for the Big 12, or is it something else? Because it seems to me that the way that you're sort of describing this is that you think that the Big 12 could continue to get hosed as this thing goes down the road.
Yeah, the comments made by Kirby Hoka, who you think as a Big 12 guy, the Texas Tech athletic director, would show some more respect, but he hasn't. And the best example to me was a couple of weeks ago when he said on one of those ESPN ranking shows, the reason we have the two ACC teams at the time, Miami and Clemson, above Oklahoma, was because we love the defense those two teams are playing. First off, those two teams didn't even have the best defense in the ACC. That was Virginia Tech. And secondly, since when do we value defense more than offense? I mean, I agree that Oklahoma's defense is not great, but they have an otherworldly offense led by the likely Heisman Trophy winner, one of the best offensive lines in the country, and a great set of skill position players. And you're going to tell me now we value defense more than offense? That's a ridiculous statement, because have you seen Miami's offense? Did you see that offense against Pittsburgh? Did you see Clemson's offense with a new quarterback in Kelly Bryant that doesn't look all that great? He's certainly not close to Deshaun Watson. I mean, since when do we value one side of the ball more than the other? And that's what I don't understand. And that was indirectly to me an insight into what the committee thinks, that the Big 12 is all offense, no defense, which isn't true when you look at last year's bowl season and the Big 12 teams went 4-2 and held their opponents to 21 points per game. This is a great conference with really good offenses, and people just think they play no defense. No, they've got decent defenses, just the offenses are that good. And two great examples of that are Clemson defensive coordinator Brent Venables and Miami defensive coordinator Manny Diaz, two guys who are getting crushed as defensive coordinators in the Big 12 because they couldn't keep up, and now they're being talked about as like these otherworldly coordinators who are up for big-time jobs. So what does that tell you? These guys suddenly became great, or the fact that they're playing up against ACC offenses is helping them out? I think it's the latter.
Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports, joining us, taking a look at the Big 12 title game. Pete, one more on the game. I saw some comments from Gary Patterson, not real pleased. There's the video out there as they were running onto the field in the first matchup of them. Baker Mayfield just mockingly clapping at them. Not sure where they were supposed to be running. Is this just a little gamesmanship? What's going on here? Gary Patterson trying to rile some things up?
I think so. I mean, Gary's a wily veteran. He's been around the game a while. He knows what he's doing. Gary Patterson's a smart guy. He doesn't say anything unless there's a meaning behind it. He's not one of those guys that shoots off the hip. He comes across like he shoots off the hip, but it's all very calculated. So, yeah, I think he's trying to fire up his guys, ruffle the feathers at OU a little bit. I'm not sure it's going to work, but, it's a valiant effort.
When you sit and you assess the Big 12 season this year, where would you rank it right now with a couple of the upsets that took place and the overall play of the conference?
I think the Big 12 showed off its depth this year. Now, they have a national title contender in Oklahoma, but it was really the middle of the conference that impressed me the most, and we'll learn more during bowl season, but that middle of the pack, Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, West Virginia, I think is more in the upper echelon before the Will Greer injury. But those teams showed the depth of this conference, which I think is really valuable and really worth something. I mean, you got, what, 8 teams now going to bowl games, 8 of 10 teams? That's a ridiculous number. So I think that's what this season is defined by, depth, but it's not a knock on the conference because you still have Oklahoma at the top that could very well compete for a national title. So a lot of these conferences, you get to the bottom half and it's pretty bad. You can say 1 through 8 for the Big 12, is stacked up there with, I'll take that with 1 through 8 in any other conference in America.
Pete, as we get ready for the bowl selection, a big part of this is going to be, if Oklahoma does get the title, how far does TCU drop? If that does happen, let's say a 34-24 victory for Oklahoma, Do you think TCU stays in the top 12 and is able to get into the Access Bowls, or do you see them dropping down and really making everybody move down a rung in the Big 12 bowl picture?
Well, I think it depends on what the outcome is of these games, of the game on Saturday. If they get blown out by three scores, then maybe. But if they play Oklahoma to 7 to 10 points, I don't think you're going to move them a whole lot. USC's in front of them. So if they win the Pac-12, you know, there's not a lot of teams below them that are playing this weekend. I guess Stanford probably is, but outside, and I'm not totally sure on that, to be honest, off the top of my head. But I don't know. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think TCU is going to slide a whole lot unless it's a really ugly game on Saturday.
When you sit back and you watch what's going to take place, I don't like it because all the games are start about the same time. You got some pull there at CBS. Can you schedule things here so they're not playing all at 7 o'clock at night?
I'll tell you what, Jimmy. I will put in a call to Sean McManus, the CBS chairman. I will tell him that Jimmy B told me that he's fed up with this scheduling and he has to change it. And I guarantee you he will change it right away.
You got to go to the refreshment stand. You got to have five or six screens in front of you to watch them all at the same time. That's the only way that you'll be happy. That's the only way I'll be happy. Because because of what these games mean and what's at stake in these title games, it's amazing that they are all going to kick off at roughly about the same time. That's my only complaint, Pete. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's tough for them, obviously, because they're all battling for TV advertising dollars, and everyone wants to be on in prime time. But I think you got, if I'm not mistaken, you got the Pac-12 game on Friday. Mm-hmm. Big 12 is at 11:30 Central Time Saturday. SEC is in the afternoon, and then you got the Big 10 and the ACC at night. So it's tough, and the end of the SEC game will probably overlap with the other two title games. But I would say finish the SEC game, then get to the other two. But I agree. It's not ideal. I just don't know how else realistically you could do it.
Make the ACC play at like midnight. That'll be good.
Yeah, but that would work. I
ACC
like that.
ACC after dark. That's what Brinson wants, at least.
I like it.
Hey, Pete, I was talking to you about the Bulls, and I've had this question so many times this week from Iowa State people. You know, Cyclone fans, they want to see their team make their way to Orlando, go to the Bowl there, and go to now the Celtic Camping World Bowl. That's the hope, I know, for a lot of people. The first selection after you get through the Big 12, after the playoff and, of course, the Access Bowls, is the Alamo Bowl. It seems like Oklahoma State would be the likely choice. They played there last year. How do you think this is going to play out? Is the Alamo Bowl willing to take Oklahoma State? They are the third choice, obviously, and pretty clear-cut number three. But since they played last year, what are you hearing as it pertains to the Big 12 Bowl partners?
Yeah, I think that they would end up taking Oklahoma State at the Alamo Bowl just because they were there last year. It's a good showing. Oklahoma State fans are much more likely to travel to San Antonio than they are to Florida. Not that that matters for, you know, the Alamo Bowl, but right. I think that they got a good crowd last year in that game against Colorado. And I know sometimes you don't want to bring in the same fan base time and time again. We've been there, done that. I understand it. But you guys know this. Stillwater to San Antonio, you know, you can do it in, I don't want to say a few hours, but maybe 7 or 8, give or take. And maybe a little more, but either way, you get the point. I don't think it's a huge deal to that bowl selection and committee to put the Cowboys down there in the Alamo Dome. And I think if you're Iowa State, you want the Camping World Bowl. I get that, but I don't know. If that was me, I'd rather have the Alamo Bowl. I'd rather go down there to San Antonio and play a better team out of the Pac-12. That's just me though.
Still a 8-hour drive, by the way, to get there. Hours.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Doable.
Matt Campbell. Yeah, it's doable. Matt Campbell named Big 12 Conference Coach of the Year. Right pick, or should somebody else have gotten that award?
Well, I think it came down to Campbell, Patterson, and Lincoln Riley. And ultimately, you know, Lincoln Riley inherited a team that had won a couple of Big 12 titles in a row, had the Heisman Trophy, one of the favorites in there. and you know, was just taken over for Bob Stoops and did what he was supposed to do. Gary Patterson had a team that you knew had the potential to do what they do. They had a ton of seniors on that squad. So not a total shocker there. Then you have Matt Campbell, who was, what, picked eighth in the conference, maybe ninth by a lot of people. Goes out there. He goes 4-0 in October, two top five wins. Shocks the college football world. I know the last few games weren't what Iowa State fans expected or hoped for, but I don't know how you couldn't have given it to Matt Campbell. And what he did, which put Iowa State back on the map, is absolutely incredible, impressive, and to me it was well-deserved. And he would have been my obvious choice for Big 12 Coach of the Year.
Well, the Big 12 with its base, back to bowl games. And I saw an article you had up earlier today, Pete, at Heartland College Sports. Texas A&M not wanting to play a Texas team in a bowl game. Take us inside of this and the lunacy that is, well, Texas.
Yeah. So Texas politics and yes, Texas football are two things you don't want to really combine most days. But, you know, basically you have these two teams ever since they stopped playing each other, Texas and A&M, going back a few years since they left for the SEC, have just been trying to figure out if they're going to play, when they're going to play. A few years ago, it was Texas who wanted to play A&M, and A&M said no thanks because Kevin Sumlin was red hot on the recruiting trail, and he said, why would I go play Texas when, you know, there's only downside to me here when it comes to recruiting? Now it's A&M who said, reportedly said this week, they don't want to play Texas or Texas Tech in a bowl game. And I get it from their standpoint, too, because, you know, they've got no coach right now. If they lose, it's just going to be piling on a program that is not trending in the right direction, unless they land Jimbo Fisher here in the next few hours. But it makes total sense from A&M's standpoint. And then if you're Texas Tech, you'll play Texas A&M or Texas any day of the week, anywhere, because you've got nothing to lose. You're the little brother. You're not expected to win. If you do win, you get a nice boost on the recruiting trail. You get a nice boost from your fan base. So it's a weird dynamic between these three programs, and I think eventually Texas and Texas A&M will play again. I don't know where or I don't know when, but I certainly do think it's not going to be in a bowl game where all the money goes to corporate sponsors. Instead, they'll do a home-and-home where these universities and the stadiums on their end will fill up, they'll make the money, and that's how it's going to play out.
Interesting. I know that you cover college football all over the country, and I'll ask you this then. Have you ever seen anything that you could quite possibly remember as wacky as what is going on at Tennessee?
No, it is a dumpster fire off the top of my head. I can't, you know, anything that wacky, I can't think of one off the top of my head, Jimmy. I mean, it is as big of a disaster as you could have worse than anyone could have predicted. I mean, who saw this coming a week ago today? But, you know, John Curry was the AD at Kansas State. You guys know that. And he never made a hire like this. You know, he was hired as Kansas State AD after, like, a few months after Bill Snyder came back for the second time. So he never hired a football coach there. Now he's at Tennessee with that absurd fan base, having to please them. He teased them, and it wasn't his fault, but the fan base was teased with these John Gruden rumors, and then that falls apart, and now it's a total disaster there in Knoxville. So it's hard to feel bad for anybody involved, though, because a lot of this is self-inflicted by the administration, and the fans, frankly, are at the point where it's like, is there any less likable fan base than Tennessee right now? I don't think there is.
Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. Pete, as always, great talking with you. Appreciate you giving us some time today. Enjoy TCU Oklahoma, and I'm sure I'll try to catch up with you next week and start to take a look forward to those bowl matchups.
Trent, Jimmy, anytime, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Pete. That's great having Pete on CBS and also Heartland Sports. Good stuff out of Pete always. You know, it's interesting, Trent, that he made the case about the bowl game and about how all the other teams, if they were in a similar situation, like if it was West Virginia against Iowa State, something of that nature, mm-hmm. and how they wouldn't get any respect at all. And I find it funny because you got Holcutt there from Texas Tech leading the charge. And the Big 12 is like yesterday's lunch. It's amazing to me how this has kind of played out.
So, Jim, let's play the game. TCU does what I think they will and upsets Oklahoma. Great game, down to the wire, 31-30, last-second field goal. They win it. They're 11-2. Clemson wins. They're in. Auburn wins. They're in. You got two spots then for three teams. The winner of Ohio State, Wisconsin, possibly Alabama, TCU. Is there any way at all TCU can find their way up there? He can't imagine the scenario. If they blow out Oklahoma, I guess. But look at what they've done. You beat Oklahoma. You avenge one of your two losses this year. You're a conference champion. Is it just as simple as the name brand? You know, if instead of TCU, you take out the C and the U and it just said Texas across the chest, that they'd be getting more benefit of the doubt? Because I feel that's the case.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, if it's not Oklahoma, then they don't want a team from the Big 12. Yeah, I mean, that's the way that Pete laid it out. If it's not the Sooners, then the Big 12 is garbage. Goodbye. Nobody else cares. I mean, what if somebody like West Virginia next season runs the table? They got to be in.
Well, they're in.
They got
running the table and running the table when you're playing everybody. And that's the difference, the Big 12 versus the Big 10 or even the SEC and ACC. You run the table, not only are you beating everybody in your conference, you're going to beat the second best team twice to do that. And that's why, there will never, ever, I don't care if it's Iowa State and they play Coe, Grinnell, and Wartburg in the non-conference. If they go through and win their other nine games against everybody else in the conference, then beat the second-place team again for the title, they're getting in. So it is different. It's a different case scenario with that. But at 12-1, that could be the spot that you still look at. It's just that name brand stuff, and that it really does annoy me. It does. It should be about what you accomplish. And this goes back to Alabama for me. If you've seen Alabama play the last 3 weeks, they're not very good. They're not very good team right now. Are they talented? Of course they're talented. It's Alabama. They have talent, but they're not a very good football team. And what Alabama's been throughout the last 7 years is physically dominant. They were dominated physically by Auburn. They were dominated up front. This is not the same Alabama team, but it's Alabama, and they get the benefit of the doubt. That's one thing that always annoys me. It's supposed to be about this year. It's not supposed to be about name brand and what you've done in the past. We just don't get that, frankly. We just don't. Everybody has their biases, and that's a big one for a lot of people.
I'm with you. I'm riding that same horse to the finish line with you. Look, it's frustrating if you're Big 12 people. It's got to be frustrating. Got to be frustrating for the commish, for Bowlesby, if indeed something like this happens and he's left out again. So, I wish there was a simple answer, Trent, but man, there's not. Not when you got four spots and you got, power five. Somebody's always going to be left out. That's the way the game is going to be played.
Well, we'll come back here on the other side. We're going to put a cap on hour number one. We got a little time for your phone calls as well. You can join us here at 515-264-1700. Again, 264-1700. With your phone calls as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight, it's Jimmy B and TC.
News, talk, sports. Yeah, we got all that online at 1700kbgg.com.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Sponsored by Account Temps. Because holiday vacations happen even when payroll is due, call Account Temps. They provide accounting and finance professionals on a temporary basis and fast. Visit AccountTemps.com. Account Temps, a Robert Half company.
It's the 12 deals of Christmas. On Tuesday, December 5th at 9 a.m., log on to 1700kbgg.com. Click on the 12 deals of Christmas banner and purchase the deals you want with half-off gift certificates at
Tuffy's Tire and Auto, where we promise you it's done right, period. We are locally owned and, as always, your dealer alternative. Use Tuffy Bucks on any service. Visit Des Moines area Tuffy.com for a list of our services. Then click for a free estimate. Stop by any of our three convenient locations in Clive, West Des Moines, and Ames.
The Home Plate Diner, serving the best comfort food around. We offer homemade specials daily and breakfast is served all day. Tuesdays, kids eat free, and Thursdays is free pie day. Two locations to serve you across from the fairgrounds on 30th Street and on Northeast 14th Street, a block north of Euclid.
Cute Smokehouse, the winners of TLC's Barbecue Pitmaster Season 2. Cute Smokehouse always has daily specials and made-from-scratch sides and excellent barbecue, too. Find them at 245 East Hickman in Waukee across from Dairy Queen, online at KUEDSmokehouse.com.
It's the 12 deals of Christmas at 1700KBGG.com.
Hear that? That's the sound of speechless. Like when you give her an unforgettable gift from Jared the Galleria of Jewelry. Whether it's one of the hundreds of new pieces in our collection, one of the exclusive pieces you can only find at Jared, or a custom piece we create just for you, Jared is the place to find the gift.
I love it.
That takes her breath away. And that's why he went to Jared.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Molly is such a cute snowflake. Where's that costume from?
Thanks. Liberty Mutual saved us some money, so it's custom made.
Liberty did what?
Oh, we switched our auto and home insurance and saved almost $800.
I wish we saved like that. Sarah's costume could use some work.
But she's a cute horse.
Sharon, she's a turkey.
Visit us online to get a quote. You can save $782 when Liberty stands with you. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-through options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines Metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. We roll all the way till 6 o'clock. And don't forget that we do have Thursday night NFL football following the program. It is Dallas and Washington. Trent, normally that sounds like a pretty good game.
Yeah,
but yeah. Both teams are kind of mired in mediocrity right now.
Well, and for the loser this game, they're out. I mean, even if either of these teams would win out after that, I think it's going to take at least 10, maybe even 11, to get the two wild cards in the NFC. Just take a look at those standings, Jimmy D, and look at the depth that you have there in the NFC. You have Carolina. You still have Detroit alive for it. You got the Seahawks. There's a lot of teams, Carolina, that still have a chance to get in here, have a chance to go 10, 11, and 5 maybe. 9 and 7 is not going to do it, I don't think, in the NFC. On the other hand, in the AFC, maybe 7 and 9 is going to do it for that final spot. We'll see about that. We'll see about your Buffalo Bills. I know you're rooting for the Bills to get it done, though.
I'm just hoping that they don't make fools of themselves, that's all. Hey, look, I was as shocked as anybody else when Buffalo went into Kansas City and won that game last weekend. So, look, this is a team that has not made the playoffs since 1999. 1999, the last time they made the playoffs. It's just been horrific for Buffalo Bills fans.
Has been. It hasn't been good. Well, the team that they beat last week is having their own set of problems. You know, there's a lot of clamoring out there for Pat Mahomes. Would you jump into that camp now? You're in good position still to win your division. Your team's not going anywhere. The way that they're playing right now, the way the defenses are guessed, offensively is taking a step back. It's not like you're beating Pittsburgh and New England and going to the Super Bowl here. Doesn't it make sense to turn it over right now and see what the kid can do? Or are you holding out hope that we're going to find the team that we saw over the first month and a half of the season?
I think if you're the coaching staff, that's what you're hoping for, is that you can get the team back that was undefeated for, what, 5 or 6 games. So whatever happened, the Kansas City Chiefs have gone through a horrific slump. Just need a good slump buster, that's all. I thought Buffalo might be it, but that wasn't the case. So you're still leading the division. I'll say this. If you have another horrific performance this weekend, then you're really going to have to consider change. You really will. Now, look, we don't know how good Mahomes has been in practice.
Right.
We only saw him in exhibition games, and we know those don't count.
Mm-hmm.
And the defenses are vanilla, and nobody prepares or really does. Everybody's looking at players. So it always cracks me up. So look what he did in the preseason. No, don't even go there. But I think if the struggles continue, Trent, this weekend, I think then you're going to have a major dilemma for the coaching staff at KC.
Jets this weekend for Kansas City. They'll make their way out to the Meadowlands for the second time in 3 weeks. The first trip out there didn't go so well as they handed the Giants a victory 12-9 in a hideous, hideous football game. Certainly concerning, though, you have to figure with this team. And then on the other side of things, our other local team, the Vikings, Case Keenum. Jim, I can't understand how a guy – it's not just that he's throwing the football around and doing those things and making Adam Thielen into being a Pro Bowl wide receiver, but the way he moves around. You know, I know he had a lot of knee injuries when he was in college in Houston, or he's a guy that got a 6-year of eligibility when he was playing collegiate football, but he's moving around so well, and it's not he's not Randall Cunningham back there, but he can escape. He can make some plays with his legs. I guess I never saw that, him being that kind of quarterback.
I don't think anybody saw it coming because of the way he had performed in his first 5 to 6 years in the league. So you never saw anything special from him other than the fact that he was a okay backup quarterback. But here he is right now seeking a role to continue to be the starter of the Minnesota Vikings, who, Trent, are 9-2. In the NFC North. Amazing.
Can they host? Can they be the first team ever, Jimmy B, to host the Super Bowl, be a home team at home playing in the Super Bowl? Can you still see that? Because I still can't.
No, I can't see that. I really can't. But, hey, listen, we didn't think they were going to win last week, and they did.
Right? Yeah, we both struggled last week. After a nice run through the season, we both took a step back. 1-4 with our picks. We'll try to do better with that coming up tomorrow in the program. But coming up next, it's the 5 o'clock hour. We're talking Hawkeyes with Derek Peck and Big Ten with Ken Silverstein next on Jimmy B and TC.
Hey, it's Bill Ryder. Nice to be talking to the home crowd again in Central Iowa, where I was raised, where I got married. The show is right on you, 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays on Des Moines Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you.
fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Sponsored by Advance Auto Parts. Order your parts online at advanceautoparts.com and pick them up in-store in just 30 minutes. Advance Auto Parts. Let's get you back on the road.
Yeah, while I was at my lowest, I slept under a bridge a couple of times. I would miss meals all the time.
Whatever I could get from the food bank is what I had to make stretch until I could get to another food bank. It's scary. What I did is I drank a lot of water so that would try to fill me up.
Talk about hungry. I even looked in garbage cans. But then when you're hungry, you do what you have to do.
Hope Ministries reminds you that hope begins with a meal. Donate today at hopeiowa.org to feed hungry Iowans and change lives.
Everyone loves barbecue, especially award-winning barbecue. That's why Cute Smokehouse, the winners of TLC's Barbecue Pitmaster Season 2, opened up a place right here in town. Cute Smokehouse has daily specials, made-from-scratch sides, desserts, and, of course, excellent barbecue. Cute Smokehouse has got you covered whether you want eat-in, take-out, or catering for your upcoming party or special event. Open 11 to 8 Monday through Saturday and closed on Sunday. Find them at 245 East Hickman in Waukee, across from Dairy Queen, and online at cuedsmokehouse.com. That's K-U-E-D smokehouse.com. Get here early, because when it's gone, it's gone. And make sure you get in on the Cued Smokehouse sweet deal. This Friday morning at 9, you'll be able to get $50 worth of Cued Smokehouse certificates for only $25. Yeah, you heard right. Get $50 worth of Cued Smokehouse certificates for only $25. This sweet deal is sure to go fast, so get yours Friday morning at 9 at 1700kbgg.com.
Aaron's Jolly Days are here. This Friday through Sunday at Aaron's, just $12 gets you started leasing to own top brands in furniture, electronics, and appliances. Yes, just $12 with no credit needed and free delivery and setup. Make your holiday a jolly one. Get started with just $12 at participating Aaron's stores this Friday and Saturday or at Aaron's.com this Friday through Sunday. Just $12 gets you started during Aaron's Jolly Days.
Transaction advertises a rental purchase agreement. Some restrictions apply, so see store for details.
That's the sound of your in-laws' cat perched over your bed at 3 a.m. You wanted to save money this holiday, so you settled for their house. Now you're staring into the eyes of pure evil. If you booked a hotel on Priceline, you could have saved up to 60%. That's up to $120 a night. Plus, you'd be in your own comfortable, cat-free room. Save up to 60%.